Good afternoon, everyone. Chris McDonald, Special Mac Files broadcast. We've got a very honorable guest on the phone with us, and he's such a good friend, and we appreciate him joining us today. Our first district congressman, Dr. Phil Rowe from the state of Tennessee. He's one of the best legislators up there. Thank God we got him representing our state, not somebody else. Good to have you on the phone, Dr. Rowe, this morning. And how's things in the beautiful city of Washington?
Chris, it is basically right now, let me use the word discombobulated. it would be the word I could use. We have the Democrats right now who can't even get a joint resolution together to condemn anti-Semitism.
Absolutely.
And that's embarrassing.
It is.
And Speaker Pelosi has absolutely no control over this far left group that's taken over the centrist part of the Democratic Party, the part that we negotiate with and do make agreements with and so forth, pass legislation, can't be done. I find it abhorrent that you can't pass a simple resolution condemning anti-Semitism.
Absolutely,
and we would if she would bring it up. Problem is, she would have a lot of her members vote against it, and she doesn't want to do that to embarrass the other members who would vote for it. I think every single Republican would vote for that.
Absolutely.
I should say, and it would pass easily, but we can't even get it to the floor because they control the floor, so Hopefully that'll get worked out. I think it's embarrassing to this country that we don't get that done.
Well, it's embarrassing to this country that you've got a sitting member of Congress on the Foreign Relations Committee that is calling for things such as the destruction of Israel, and, you know, it seems like they're having to make an apology for her, Dr. Rowe, every other day of the week, and they get one apology out of the way, and then she's out there saying the same thing, and that lets me know she's not sincere when she apologizes. I mean, she's just doing it for the political part of it, but that's really sad. But, you know, that's got to sort of – how does that cast a pall? I mean, that's got to affect you guys in the hallway crossing, don't it? I mean, it's got to sort of affect the tenor of the House right now.
Well, you got to remember that she represents 725,000 people who elected her. So
that's true.
I'm more concerned about the people who've elected her to office than I am just as one person, because if the majority of the people in that congressional district support that, that's very troubling.
Oh, that is very troubling. Sort of on the same lines, we could talk about that for a while, but I'd like to get to this national emergency situation that President Trump declared about the border. I know you've been to the border yourself, and we've talked about this many times, and I don't see how anybody can look at the situation, Dr. Rowe, down on the border and not call it an emergency for what's going on. I will say this quick thing. I read something very amusing yesterday, and it wasn't amusing in a good way, but it just goes to show you how dishonest the media is. New York Times a month ago basically was mocking President Trump and all the Republicans and all those that supported his national emergency declaration, saying that they didn't see any emergency at the border at all. Well, just yesterday, they came out, and the headline literally was, border on the brink of totally breaking down, totally being beyond repair, beyond control, because they admitted that everything President Trump has said about the border, everything Republicans such as Dr. Phil Rowe has been screaming about the border is true, that we've got a situation, a drug problem. It's happening. We've got to get it under control. What say you, my friend?
Well, let's just go over some of the real this facts. This is not something that I'm making up, but in the last 5 months, this fiscal year, we've had almost 160,000 unaccompanied alien children and family members have been picked up over the border the last 5 months. That's far more than the 120,000 in 2014 when President Obama called it a crisis.
That's right.
So it's strictly political. And let me just give you a couple of other things. We meet with the Border Patrol people and the Department of Homeland Security brief us very frequently. 55 migrants a day. What's happening, Chris, is that the drug cartels have now, they're very smart people, and they figured out how to make money from transporting. They're hiring tour buses now to bring these families up here, mostly from Central America, three countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. They're bringing them up here, and we've had over 70 groups of over 100 that come over, and then they want to be caught. The coyotes who brought them up could get paid thousands of dollars bringing them up here. And then it diverts all of our resources to taking care of this couple of 100, 200 people, 300 people in some cases. And then they're able to have other areas of the border unprotected, and they bring their drugs over. The second thing they do is that And look, I mean, we're a very compassionate country, and we're taking 55 migrants a day to our local clinics and hospitals, and the Border Patrol agents have to go with them. And just this year, they've had 57,000 hours of time that the Border Patrol people have done babysitting these people on medical watch just in the first 5 months. It's horrendously expensive, and it leaves our border unprotected. I don't know how you classify a crisis, but this is a humanitarian crisis.
Absolutely.
Look, a third of the women who come up here have been sexually assaulted. This is Doctors Without Borders. This is not Donald Trump saying this.
Absolutely.
And I could go on and on. So it depends on how you declare a crisis. In my opinion, it is a crisis. And we ask, I was taken to task by a local newspaper about how I complained when President Obama on the declared, when he used an executive order on the DACA's. And I said, look, I don't think he has the power to do that. And the courts upheld that. He did not have the power to do that.
Right.
I believe from what our lawyers, I am not a lawyer, but I listen to jurists, and the president is using two parts of the U.S. code which give him the authority. And I think he's going to have the authority. The courts will ultimately decide this. But what he has said is, in a national emergency, and he used two parts of the code, he can put the military at the border and then support their mission. And by supporting their mission, part of it may be road building, part of it may be fence building, part of it may be humanitarian, all part of it. So I think he has we have 5,000 troops at the border right now because our Customs and Border Patrol people are just overwhelmed.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I was agreeing with you. That's absolutely right. And Dr. O, do you think that a lot of this, I call it blowhard grandstanding by a lot, and I know you're not in the Senate. I know a lot of the House has already passed the resolution to oppose the national emergency, but I don't understand how Republicans can break away from the president on this. They know better, and I just don't understand that. What do you feel about that when you see fellow Republicans?
I think, Chris, I see where they're coming from, and let me explain what I'm saying. We should have used and done our job in the Congress.
I'll agree.
Which is to appropriate the money if you believe protecting. And we've done this in the past. We have 654 miles of fencing right now. Already done. Nobody complained at all until it was Donald Trump.
Exactly.
All of a sudden it becomes we can't do it because I don't know. I can't imagine why anybody who's been down there put their feet on the ground, had those Customs and Border Patrol people walk you on the border. I've been right on that border and walked it. And I cannot imagine how anybody could not say we don't need not only protect our Customs and Border Patrol people, but protect our citizens that live along the border. And then from a humanitarian standpoint, Chris, the people that are coming up here, they're in horrible conditions. It's not fair to them either.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing that it's not just, you can throw the politics out. You said the humanitarian crisis a while ago, Dr. We're talking about lives. We're talking about people being killed and hurt. And it's not Donald Trump's fault that's been doing this. This has been an ongoing problem. And look, I appreciate your honesty about being the Congress should have already done this. We've had majorities in the House and the Senate for 2 years now. And it just seemed like it was slow walking. We hate what happened in November, but now it's going to be a great deal harder to get things passed with these Democrats in power.
Well, the problem, Chris, was not the House. The House.
Yeah, I know it wasn't. Exactly.
We take 218 votes to do what we need in the House.
Absolutely.
They have this archaic rule in the Senate that if one senator objects to a bill, one out of, and we may have had, I had this happen to me, 382 people agreed to one, zero disagreed, one senator opposed, and we couldn't get the bill passed because it takes 60 votes in the Senate. And even bill on the Senate floor if one person objects. And that's been the problem. And we would not even be having this discussion about a wall if there were a simple majority vote on appropriations bills in the U.S. Senate, period.
Dr. Rowe, you sent us something yesterday, and I really want you to talk about this in detail. It's very troubling. H.R. 1, the Democrats' top legislative agenda right now, and I want you to explain to our folks out here how dangerous this bill is, and why. And it's a great article, by the way. I wanted to compliment you on it, and we've got it on our website, on our paper site, the Great Smoky Mountain Journal, but we also want you to discuss it with us today, because it is a dangerous piece of legislation, and as you told me before we got him on the phone, probably one of the worst pills you've ever seen since being in Congress.
Yeah, I've seen some stinkers, and this is one you're very near the top. And gotcha. What it does is it federalizes our elections. And as I said, East Tennessee, state of Tennessee, we may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but we can count. We can do arithmetic. And about 2 hours after the polls closed in Tennessee, we know who won the election, period.
That's
in
true.
California, it takes them several weeks, and then they have to keep count until they get the number they want.
Exactly.
Or in Florida, the same county every time, they can't count votes. Well, we can. And we don't need the federal government telling us how to count our votes in Tennessee. This bill would determine what kind of voting machines you have. It would also, I think the most egregious part is the Politician Protection Act, I call it. So if you get a $200 donation, which does not have to be reported, the taxpayers match that 6-1. So you go to somebody and that's going to give you a $1,000 check. You never do that. You say, no. Have your wife give me $200. Have your kids give me $200. Have your aunt and uncle and Aunt Susie and whoever. And you turn that into $1,400 per person, per $200. It's ridiculous to have the taxpayers on the hook for billions of dollars for an election. And look, I believe we need a campaign finance reform. I'm one of the only people in U.S. Congress, Chris, that doesn't use any PAC money for my reelection. I've done that now for 10 years. And six elections I've done that for. I doubt there's hardly anybody that ever does that. But I've done that. But we do not need this bill. It is a terrible bill.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And the Democrats, you know, as you said, I love what you said to me, for it to be the top legislative agenda and their really first push, it sort of scares you about this Democratic-controlled House. And I am curious about something. How has things changed for you since November? Because I know that there has been a changeover in power since we've talked. And what's the biggest change that you've seen with the atmosphere? Look, I know you got a leader that don't really care about the country a lot. She's only for herself. I shouldn't say that probably, but that's how I feel. And I think most people out here in middle America feel that way. But when you're looking at it from ground zero up there, Doctor, what's the atmosphere been like since the Dems?
Well, the biggest change is you don't decide the agenda anymore. In other words, just example today, we can't even get a joint resolution about anti-Semitism brought to the floor because the far left part of the Democratic Party will vote against it. I found that amazing to me in America that we would do that. So something as simple as that would be ought to be bipartisan. We can't even get brought to the floor for a vote. The Senate, totally different. The Republicans control the Senate. They control the agenda there. So that's the biggest difference. But in my situation where I'm a ranking member on VA, I still have influence there.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's no question about that because of the bipartisan aspect of that committee. So I would take the committee in a little different direction, but basically I'm going to stay focused on what's good for veterans and as I've done for 10 years now.
Yeah. A couple of quick more questions and I'll let you go. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. The Nadler situation would shift. They are sending the president 81 documents for this subpoena. How do you view that? I look at it as an abuse. I think they're just trying to, I know that it's been Trump hatred syndrome from day one, but that's got to disturb you too, that they're using that committee to go after the president's family when there's really nothing to go after right now. They're just trying to look for something.
Well, we get the report back. Let me tell you, from the Mueller investigation, which is coming, I think, any time now.
Right.
What I'm hearing, my sources up here telling me in the very near future that will happen. I think we'll see. We'll wait and see what the report is, and I think that's what everybody should do. If there's no collusion with the Russians, which there certainly doesn't seem to be any evidence for, the collusion was this Fusion GPS dossier, paid for dossier. That's where the collusion was.
Absolutely.
With the foreign government.
Absolutely.
But anyway, be what it is, we'll wait till we get the report. I don't think the American people care about months and months and years of investigation. What they want are policies that help them and push America forward. And right now, Chris, our economy is doing great.
Yes, it is.
Tennessee is doing well. That helps all people. That helps Republicans and Democrats and people that care less about politics. That's what we should be focused on. How do we make drug drugs prices less? How do we help people afford their health care? How do we make sure that they get educated and don't have this onerous youth debt? That's what we should be focused on.
Absolutely. Doctor, I know you're a physician, and I want to just get your opinion about what you saw happen in January with the states of New York and Virginia on this abortion issue. You sent some articles out. It's very disturbing, very troubling, and I know from a doctor's perspective, it has to break your heart that somebody would want to literally murder a baby after, even after the baby's born. And I know this Born Alive bill failed in the Senate here a few weeks ago, which was troubling to me that we couldn't get that passed. But let me know a little bit about how you feel about this abortion situation over our country right now.
Well, certainly, I'm an obstetrician, and that's what I did for a career. And I found it unbelievable when I saw that people cheered in the state of New York that you could kill a baby after it was born. That seemed to be okay. It's still hard for me to believe that's the case. And I can tell you, Chris, I don't believe if we do this, if we cheapen life like that, God's not going to continue to bless this country. There's no way it's going to happen. And so people like myself and you that have access to the media have got to stand up. And I think people that even were pro-choice were absolutely appalled. I was stunned by that.
Yeah, and again, I feel the same way. There's a few pro-choice people out here that has to be shaking their head that this has gone to the extreme, because, Dr. Rowe, we're teetering on Nazi Germany here. I mean, that's what they did. They devalued life to the point that they convinced the world that a certain class of people were not, you know, even human. And to me, that's sort of what this abortion debate has become. I mean, they're basically telling us these babies are tissue and they're not, you know, worthy of our saving. And then you get to this point that they are worthy of saving. They're in their human life, even at the ninth month, and then they're still wanting to kill them. It's very troubling.
Well,
it's very troubling.
I'm sitting here right now on my phone looking at a picture of my granddaughter, and I can't imagine anybody doing that.
Absolutely.
Look, we have thousands of people who want to adopt children. I've known couples. I can't tell you how many couples that I know right now personally, they're trying to adopt children. So let that baby live and let it have its shot at life like we've had a chance. So I think the American people have spoken on that.
Yes.
I know that won't happen in the state of Tennessee. I am absolutely convinced where we live that will not be an issue.
No, because Governor Lee's doing a great job. Hey, I do have a quick question about the adoption, and this is a quick question, I'll let you go. What legislation could be passed, because it seems that adoption is so expensive in this country, between $10,000 to $50,000, and then your abortion's just $500. Is there anything Congress could do to fix that?
Now, I don't know whether the U.S. Congress, because most of these are state issues.
Right.
And Chris, you're absolutely right. It's way too expensive, and young families don't have that kind of money.
No.
I mean, they just don't. They're getting on their feet, and you know, they're just, most young families are just paying the bills, and so to pay that one is really difficult. So I think it's more of a state issue, but it is something that needs to be simplified and made less expensive. Oh, I totally agree with you.
Absolutely.
On that.
Let me let you wrap us up. Things going well in Tennessee. You're gonna be back in the district here next week or so.
Yeah, I'll should be heading back tomorrow, and looking forward. The governor is going to be in Gray, Tennessee, just outside Johnson City, next Friday night for Cattleman's Dinner. Looking forward to that. So,
okay.
a lot of good things going on. We attended, visited three schools in the last couple of days. That was a lot of fun. And down in Morristown and up in Carter County. So we've had a busy time once we got home from up here, and a lot more fun, I might add.
Well, I'll reach out to you. Gray's not too far from me, and is that by invitation only, or do they let gray-headed media types in there? That
as long as you got, I think it's $25 a ticket. As long
That's
as you
bad.
Write a check for $25,
okay.
I'll take it.
All right, that sounds good to me. We're all about capitalism here in Tennessee. That's for sure, brother. Dr. Rowe, it's been a pleasure as always talking to you. We appreciate your service to our country, and we thank you for joining us this morning. I know you got a busy day. Thank you for taking your time out with us today. We appreciate it, friend.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you, doctor. Have a good day.
Bye bye.
We've been talking to Dr. Phil Rowe, first district congressman here in Tennessee. We appreciate Congressman taking his time out to speak with us here at the Mac Files and the Great Smoky Mountain Journal. We appreciate you joining us as well here for this special Mac Files presentation. God bless you. God bless your families. And God bless this great nation of America. And we will talk to you soon. Have a good day, everybody. Take care.